Gracious, loving Father, we gather once again around thy holy word. We bless thee that thy word is not only a holy word, but it is an eternal word. For thou hast said that heaven and earth may pass away, but thy word shall never pass away. So, Lord, we pray that thou would increase our love for thy word. We pray that thou would come now and open this word to our hearts. And, O Lord, open our hearts to receive the word. Grant that once again thou would give us eyes to see. Eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. We claim now the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask thee, Lord, that through the power of thy Spirit we might today preach Christ and be enabled to make much of the blood of the Lamb. In the Lord's great name we pray. Amen. Our text for today consists of two verses. Indeed, the last two verses we read together. In Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye had judged me to be faithful in the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. If you were to carefully read the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, you would soon discover that three women are mentioned here by Luke. Each of them is brought to our attention in exactly the same way by the use of the words a certain woman. In the opening verse, we are introduced to the first woman. She was a mother. Then came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. This certain woman, of course, was the mother of Timothy. The Bible has a number of things to say about this mother. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, we are told there that she was a good mother, because Timothy, from a child, had been taught the Holy Scriptures. So she was a good mother in that she taught Timothy the Word of God even in his childhood. She was not only a good mother, she was a godly mother. We're told here in verse 1 of Acts 16 that she believed. But then Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 about her unseen faith. pure faith, her unadulterated faith. She was sold out to the Lord. She was a good mother, a godly mother. And then we gather from Acts 16, verse 2, she was a gracious mother. Because we read in verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, him would Paul have to go forth with him. Reference here, of course, is to Timothy, Lois's son. And it was in the mind of Paul to take Timothy with him on this missionary journey. And I say that Eunice was the mother of Timothy. Eunice was a gracious woman because she allowed Timothy to go with Paul. She did not try to stand in his way. Here he was, been given an opportunity to serve the Lord and go off to some far off land, and she was gracious enough to allow her son Timothy to go. She gave her son to the Lord, just as Hannah gave Samuel to the Lord. So that's the first woman, a certain woman that we read about in Acts 16. Then if you look at verse 16, we're told about another woman. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel or a certain woman, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us. If the first woman in Acts 16 here was a mother, then this woman was a magician. Because she had the spirit of divination. What might we learn about her? First of all, that she was a damsel, or a young woman, or indeed a young girl, as the word would indicate. She was just a young girl. Yet, as a young girl, she was already sold out to the devil. She had the spirit of divination. The devil already had a grip on her life. The devil was already influencing her life, forging her destiny. My, how many young girls have had their lives ruined by the devil. Even as young girls, they're already ruined. Their innocence has already been stolen away by the god of this world. Not only was she a damsel, she was also delivered. Verse 18, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Through the Apostle Paul, the power of Jesus Christ delivered this young woman from the influence and the clutches of the devil. And I tell you, there are many young people today who need the same experience and need to experience the power Christ in their lives to deliver them from sin and save them from a life of sin, that they might give their lives to Christ and spend their lives for Him. Then we notice also that she was different. For we read in verse 19, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, in other words, when she got converted, when she was delivered by the power of Christ, she was a different person. She didn't go back to her old ways. She didn't go back to her divination. She gave it up, and her masters were angry because she had been saved and she had given up her old practices. My, what a valuable lesson we have here for how it is important that when a soul gets saved, that that soul gives evidence of their conversion. And the evidence is when that person does not return to their old haunts and to their old ways, but there is a change to be seen in their lives. Instead of going back, they go on, and they go on with God. So we have looked at two women and the influence the Lord had in their lives. One was a mother, the other was a magician, but there is a third. And this woman was a merchant, for she was a seller of purple. The woman, of course, was Lydia. We have much, the Bible has much to say about Lydia, a woman who is known as the first European convert. Paul took the gospel into Europe, into Macedonia, and into Philippi. The church was formed in Philippi, but the first convert there was Lydia. I not only see here Lydia as the first European convert, I see something else. For I see here the value that the Lord places upon one soul. Think of it. The Apostle Paul was sent by the Lord. Paul and Silas left Antioch. When they got to Derbe here in verse 1 of Acts 16, there they made contact with Timothy, and Timothy joined them. So the duo became a trio. Paul, Silas, and now Timothy. And when they get to Troas, we discover that Luke joins them. Because in verse 4, Luke, remember, wrote the book of Acts. He says in verse 4, and as they went, then he gets down to verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. So Luke now joins them. So we have four men, and they make their way to Macedonia through Asia, into Macedonia and to the city of Philippi. Now if Paul was able to go on a straight line, which it was impossible for him to do because as he went through Asia, he had to go around the mountains there. Remember, he had to go on foot, except for a short part of the journey where he went from Troas into Macedonia by ship. But if he was able to go on a straight line from Antioch to Philippi, it's a distance of over 500 miles. 500 miles from Antioch to Philippi with the sole purpose of winning one soul for Christ. And that soul was Lydia. Does this not emphasize the value the Lord places upon one soul? That the Lord put it in Paul's heart to leave Antioch and go to Philippi, a journey of over 500 miles, in order that he might lead one soul to Christ. Just as the Lord Jesus went on that one an only journey to the land of Gadara to reach one soul. For there he reached and saved legions. And he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon to reach one soul. He didn't do any mighty works while he was there. In fact, he hid himself when he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. But he went there to reach one soul, the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. And do you remember how we read in John 4 that the Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria? Why must he go through Samaria? To reach one soul for himself. There he met the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well and drew her to himself. One soul. Oh, the value of a soul. I want us to consider this soul that Paul won for Christ. This first European convert. I want us first of all to consider the missionaries and Lydia. The missionaries and Lydia. The Lord in His wonderful providence led Paul and the others from Antioch to a prayer meeting at a riverside location in the city of Philippi. It is quite remarkable. It is quite wonderful to see how the Lord led Paul to the very place where Lydia was to be found. And as we look at these verses, we cannot help but notice how important it is to seek one soul for the Lord Jesus. Because one soul is worth more than all the gold in this world or a thousand worlds. Let us consider Paul's journey. Take a note of a few things, as it were, along the way. Let us continue with Paul, or travel with Paul, as he makes his way from Antioch to Philippi and to that prayer meeting by a riverside. I want us to consider, with regard to these missionaries as they made their way to Lydia, I want you to consider the closed doors there were along the way. As Paul, Silas, and Timothy made their way westward throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, we're told that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Verse 6. Those words are quite remarkable in themselves. Forbidden, quite a strong term. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Paul had to go through Asia to get to Macedonia. What an opportunity, Paul no doubt thought. An opportunity to preach the word, and yet he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Here you have his silence. Here we have Paul, and he was told of the Holy Ghost to be silent. He was not to preach the word in Asia. Why? Because it was not the Lord's time. It was not the right time for Paul to preach in Asia. He would do that on a second missionary journey and preach in Ephesus. But not this time. On this occasion, he had to remain silent. Believer, this would teach us that there are times when we should speak the word, and there are times when we shouldn't. We need to know the mind of the Lord. We read in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And then verse 6, a time to keep silence, and a time to here, it was time for Paul to keep silent. So no matter how burdened we may be for soul, as undoubtedly Paul was, we need to know when to speak, when to say nothing. I believe there have been many souls, we might use the term, frightened away from Christ whenever a word has been spoken out of season. We need to know when to speak. We need to know what to say. The door was also closed in Bithynia. Bithynia and Pontus lay north of Asia. And we are told that Paul said to go there, verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Let's take the word said. The word means to try. In other words, Paul tried to go to Bithynia. It was in his heart. He desired to go. In fact, the word would indicate he was determined to go to Bithynia. He has said to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And the very next verse we read, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. So if in verse 6 we have Paul's silence, in verse 7 we have Paul's surrender. Paul's surrender to the will of God. It was not the will of God for Paul to go north to Bithynia, but it was in the will of God for Paul to press on through Asia, because the Lord wanted Paul in Macedonia. The Lord wanted Paul in Philippi. The Lord wanted Paul at a prayer meeting that was being held by a riverbank. So he was not to go into Bithynia, even though it was in his mind, even though it was his desire, even though in many ways he was determined to go. Yet it was not in the mind of God. It was not the plan of God for Paul to go to Bithynia at that time. So instead of going to Bithynia, Paul went on to Troas. In other words, Paul was surrendered to the will of God. Whatever he had in mind, whatever he was determined to do, he must surrender to the will of God. So it is with us. We must follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. We must pray with the Lord Jesus, not my will, thine be done. It's what the Lord wants us to do, not what we want to do. I remember in my student days, at that time, it was the rule of our presbytery that if a church was vacant and needed a preacher, that the presbytery would send a student to that particular church. And he would continue his studies and occupy the pulpit for the duration of his time in the theological hall. One young man was coming to near the end of the study, and he was asked to go and be the minister of one of our smaller churches. It was in an area that was always known as been very difficult. The church never expanded from the day it started. Just a handful of people there. But here was an opportunity for this young man to go and do a work for God. And he said he didn't want to go. He didn't want to go because the church was too small. Because it was in a difficult area. He didn't want to go. I don't know where that young man is now, but I know this, he's not in the ministry. I don't know where he is today. You see, he was determined to go his way instead of God's way. And we don't go God's way and we don't do God's will, we can make shipwreck of our lives. Here we have Paul surrender to the will of God. He wanted to go to Bithynia. He was determined to go. He had a desire to go. But it was not the mind of the Lord, for the Spirit suffered them not. When you take these two verses together, you have here Paul's surrender and his silence, but I believe you also have his sensitivity. Because the Apostle Paul, in obeying the Lord on both occasions, on obeying the Spirit of God, it shows us that Paul was sensitive to the workings of God in his life. He was sensitive to the leading of the Lord. What if Paul hadn't been sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God? He would have went to Asia and preached, and he would have gone to Bithynia. And he wouldn't have had any fruit. It would have been a waste of time because he would have been there out of the will of God. Needed to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. You turn to Acts chapter 8. There in Acts 8 and verse 29 we have a similar incident. Philip has been preaching in the city of Samaria. Philip has been, his ministry has been blessed. Souls have been saved. In fact, salvation. Our revival has come to that city. The whole city rejoiced. Then we read in verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. For you see, the Spirit of God had called Philip away from the city of Samaria and led him to the, as it were, the backside of the desert of Gaza. And there he was to speak to an Ethiopian eunuch. One soul again, the importance of one soul, the importance of reaching one soul for Christ. After preaching to thousands, he's called away to preach to one soul. When one soul for the Lord. When the Spirit of God has led them away, we read in verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran. He was sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. He ran. Witnessed to the man. Explained the scriptures to him. And the man was wonderfully and gloriously saved. Needed to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit when it comes to winning souls. We can meet someone and, using an old-fashioned term, you can jump in with both feet and try and win them for the Lord, and what you really do is just maybe offend them or scare them off. Fisherman stands on the river bank with his fishing line. He doesn't doesn't first of all throw a big stone into the river. That would only frighten the fish away. So he stands there quietly and patiently casting his line. We need to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. Then the Apostle Paul, going through Asia, and all the doors are closed. We have the closed doors. Then secondly, we have the call delivered. For in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. I don't believe that it is any coincidence that Paul received this vision, or the time when Paul received this vision is any coincidence. For we read that he received this vision. This call came to him in the night, verse 9. It was dark. And Paul, no doubt, just passed through the darkness of disappointment. He wanted to preach the gospel in Asia. He wanted to preach and witness for the Lord in Bithynia, but the doors were closed, and no doubt, I have no doubt, Paul was disappointed. But he surrendered his will to the will of God. But then suddenly, the Lord began to open another door. My, we can be disappointed when the Lord shuts doors in our faith, but it would be better for us for the Lord to shut the doors in our faith than for us to go through those doors outside the will of God. We'd be wasting our time. Better to have the Lord shut the doors in our face and suffer disappointment. But when God shuts doors, He's preparing us for other doors that He's going to open. And if you have had a door shut in your face by the Lord has shut that door because He wants to open another door. That's what he did with Paul. Notice something here. Notice how things were all working together for good. As far as Paul was concerned, we mentioned that verse this morning in our Bible class, and how those words were true for the Hebrew believer suffering persecution. They couldn't see any good coming out of persecution. Yet Paul informed them it was for their profit and their good, their holiness and righteousness. And here we see all things working together for good. The one who loved the Lord. First of all, you have the providence of the Master. The Lord in providence brought Paul through Asia and past Bithynia. The providence of God. Not only do you have the providence of the Master, you have the patience of the messenger, because Paul was patient and simply followed the leading of the Lord. And then you have the third factor. You have the prayer of the man. For Paul had a vision one night of a man of Macedonia, a man standing praying. And he's praying that God would send someone into Macedonia. Send someone there to help them. My, that's what the call of God is all about. When we receive the call of God, it is to go forth and bring help to those in need. There were people in Macedonia, there were people in Philippi that needed Paul's help, that needed the help of the gospel. humanitarian aid, no doubt, is necessary. But here was aid that was much more important, because souls were perishing in their sin. And there was one soul in particular that the Lord wanted Paul to reach and lead to himself. The call was delivered. And then you have the confirmed decision in verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. He made a decision. But they go on, Luke goes on to say, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. That's a wonderful feeling. To know that God has called you to something. Without any shadow of a doubt, to know that God has called. And Paul now had it confirmed in his heart. God had called them into Macedonia to preach the gospel. Wasn't allowed to preach it in Asia. Wasn't allowed to preach it in Bithynia. But the door was now open in Macedonia. And we read, and after he had seen the vision, immediately. That teaches us when the Lord leads us to do something, commands us to do something, let us not waste any time. There's no time to lose. So we have the missionaries in Lydia. Very quickly we have the meeting with Lydia. They came to Macedonia, into the city of Philippi. Notice in verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. So they had to wait. Had to wait for the moment of opportunity to come their way. Sometimes we'll have to wait. Lord may send us to do something or to speak to someone, but we may just have to wait. Just wait a while and again wait on the leading of the Lord. They were in the city a number of days. They weren't doing anything. They just had simply to wait. Notice the congregation. What was it that Paul saw? Or rather, we should say, who did Paul see in the vision? He saw a man standing praying in Macedonia. But when Paul got to Macedonia, when he got to Philippi, and he met his congregation, there was no man there. It was a congregation of women. For we read in verse 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a river side where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. You see, sometimes when the Lord calls us to do a work for Him, it may turn out very differently to what we expected. Perhaps Paul was expecting to meet this man or preach to a group of men, but there were no men there. He met with a group of women. But in that group of women was the soul that Paul had come from Antioch to meet. Lydia. Lydia was there. And it was there that Paul met Lydia. You have the people and then you have the practice, for we read, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Came to the Sabbath day. the first thought that came into Paul's mind and into the mind of his fellow missionaries was, we need to find a place to worship. The first thought in their mind. Isn't it interesting that when the Sabbath day dawned, their thoughts turned immediately to prayer and to worship? Sadly, few today turn their thoughts towards the house of God. Sabbath day dawn. When they think of the Sabbath day, they say, well, we can get a few odd jobs done around the house. Or when the Sabbath day comes, well, it's time to get the grass cut. Not in this weather, of course. Or it's time for us to go to the supermarket and get by in the week's goods. Or it's time to go for a drive, take the family to a resort somewhere. When the Sabbath day dawned, Paul immediately thought of prayer and worship. In fact, if you take the words where prayer was wont to be made, we discover that those words may be rendered where we suppose there was a place of prayer. In other words, they went out looking for a place to worship. So you have the people, you have his practice, and then you have the place. The place where they met for prayer and worship was by a riverside, or was there by a river. That's where they met. When people go looking for a place to worship, one of the first things they should ask about, does that church believe in prayer? Does the church have a prayer meeting? For I tell you, if the church doesn't have a prayer meeting, pass on by, go look somewhere else. No point going to a church that doesn't believe in prayer. There's a whole message here, because you'll notice that this meeting was held outside the city. It was a separated church. It was outside the gate, outside the camp. Go looking for a church, look for a separated church. Church that's outside the camp of apostasy. Church that believes in prayer. And then you have the conversation. Notice what happened when Paul met his congregation, this group of ladies that were gathered by the riverside. And we sat down and spake unto the women. Wasn't a church building, it wasn't a cathedral, it wasn't a synagogue, it was an open-air prayer meeting. Notice Paul did not begin preaching to them. It says he sat down and spake unto them. He engaged them in a conversation. Remember, the Lord has sent them to reach Lydia with the gospel. And he begins by engaging them in a conversation. Once again, we need to know when to preach and when to engage people in conversation. The Lord Jesus, when he went to Jacob's well, he didn't start preaching to the woman of Samaria. He engaged her in a conversation. And he won her to himself. And he engaged this group of ladies in a conversation. And then you have the convert. For we read in verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. It's So she's listening into the conversation. Now, at last, he meets the one soul. For me, this was quite wonderful. To see Paul leaving Antioch, traveling 500 miles, and led by the Spirit to Philippi, there talking to a group of ladies about the things of God, and a woman hears Paul speaking. This woman got saved. Regarding this convert, you notice she worshipped God. She was obviously a very religious woman, yet nevertheless, she still needed Christ. She had religion, but she didn't have the Redeemer. Thousands have religion, but they don't have Christ. Lydia was religious. She worshipped God, but she didn't know God. She was like Cornelius. Who was a devout man, worshipped God with his family, but he didn't know Christ until Peter went and preached on to him and his household. So she worshipped God, and then we have the work of God, verse 14, and she heard us whose heart the Lord opened. Notice the heart of the unsaved is naturally shut against God. Lydia's heart was shut. Oh, she worshipped God, but her heart was still shut against God. The Lord had to open her heart. Paul couldn't open her heart. It was a work that only God could do. The Lord opened her heart. That was the work. Souls to be saved. Salvation is the work of God. Ye, Paul says, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ye are his workmanship, created the work of God. And then you have the word of God. We are told she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You see, Lydia had to hear the word. She couldn't be saved until she heard the word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Paul had to go there if Lydia was to be saved. Preach the word unto her. Is the entrance of the word that giveth life. And then we notice she was one for God. Even though there were a number of women at that place of prayer, from what we have in this verse, it appears that only Lydia was saved. She's the only convert mentioned here. And here we have a marvelous thing. The Lord had his elect in Macedonia. The Lord had his people even there in godless Macedonia. And the Lord brought Paul and the others from Antioch to reach that one soul, to pluck that one brand from the burning. She was one for the Lord. And if Lydia was the only one saved, what about the others? What happened to them? Reminds us that not everyone will be saved. And then, something else here, you have the wonder of God. Remember, the Lord had forbidden Paul to preach the word in Asia. But where was Lydia from? She was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Where is that city located? In Asia. Thyatira is in Asia. It's one of the churches there that the Lord sent the letter to, Revelation 1, verse 4, Revelation 2, verse 18. Paul wanted to preach in Asia, yet when he came into Macedonia, the first convert he had was a woman from Asia. The wonder of God. He had stopped off. If he had stopped off in Asia, he wouldn't have led Lydia to Christ. This woman from Asia. The first European convert. One of Spurgeon's evangelists went over to Ireland once to conduct some evangelistic services. And during the services there, a man got saved. And it turned out the man who had got saved lived in the same city as the evangelist, lived in London. And when the evangelist kept on talking to him, he discovered he lived in the same street as the evangelist. They were neighbors, and yet at the same time they were strangers. And it took the evangelist to go to Ireland and the man from the city to go to Ireland for the two of them to meet under the sound of the gospel. Oh, the wonderful ways of God. I must go very quickly. You have the ministry of Lydia. The evidence of Lydia's conversion is very apparent in the following verses. Verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household, there you have the ordinance. How do we know she got saved? Why, she got baptized in her household. Not only did she get saved, but it appears the whole household got saved. What is baptism? It is the putting of that difference between us and the world. And here this woman got baptized after she had got saved. She wanted people to know she was a child of God. Oh, there's the evidence there of her salvation, the ordinance, and then the offer. Verse 15, she said to Paul and the others, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Remember, the missionaries were strangers in the city. They were far, far from home. But once the Lord opened her heart, woman opened her house. And she was hospitable. And she asked the missionaries to come and stay. What? Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, all four of them. Yes, all four. Invited them into her house. That Paul or Luke says, she constrained us. There's only one other place that word is found. Luke 24, verse 29. The Emmaus disciples asked the Lord to abide with them. They constrained him. The word means to press beyond measure. There was no doubt they wanted the Lord in their house, and there was no doubt Lydia wanted the missionaries in her home. She got saved. She was now part of the Lord's family. In Matthew 25, verse 40, the Lord says, if you give a glass of water to the least of my brethren, then you give it unto me. If you care for my brethren, it's like caring for me. And then the opportunity. For we say farewell Lydia in verse 40. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. Remember, they had been beaten and imprisoned. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. It appears that Luke stayed behind, because now he's talking about they went out and they departed. Luke stays behind, but the others say farewell to Lydia. They've just got out of prison. Not too many people would want to have been associated with Paul and Silas and Timothy. Prisoners. Lydia opened her house. She was not ashamed to be associated with God's servants. And that's where we say farewell to Lydia. She's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. But what a wonderful way to say farewell. To see her now with open heart, an open house, and an open home, serving the Lord. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let us pray. Eternal, loving Father and gracious God, we come before Thee in the Savior's name, and we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou, in providence, according to Thine own sovereign way, brought each one of us into contact with the gospel. We thank Thee, dear loving Father, for all the way Thou didst lead us, even when we were ignorant of Thy ways. Yet, Lord, we thank Thee that Thou didst bring us to the place where we could hear the gospel of Christ. We were brought savingly to Thee. O Lord, we bless Thee for the plan of salvation. We thank Thee for Thy providence and salvation. We thank Thee for Thy power in saving us and opening our hearts to receive Christ and the gift of eternal life. Lord, may we learn much from Thy word today. Write it and hide it in our hearts. Be with us now as we leave the house of God. Lord, take us to our homes in safety and abide with us there. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.